When you can't agree on what to order or you're settling for whatever, mealtime can be a major. That's where Wonder comes in. Download the app for access to everything you're craving. Mix and match hundreds of freshly prepared dishes from menus by renowned chefs, delivered in one order. Say goodbye to compromise. From poke to pizza, it's all on Wonder. Use code WONDER50P for 50% off your first two orders on Wonder. Wonder, the cravings expert. Get the app today. Terms apply. See wonder.com/newcustomer for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
One of the best red zone passers in football for a long time.
To the ground here. Gainwell is in for the Pittsburgh touchdown.
But he comes here in his 21st season. First one with the Steelers. And coming off a 6-for-6 drive. He'll throw to begin this drive. And it's DK Metcalf. He's in the loose. There goes DK. A block from Austin. Inside the 5. Into the end zone. 80-yard touchdown. Rodgers to Metcalf.
Only 3 to snap it here on 3rd and long. A 4-man rush. Wentz has it. Hit at the line and intercepted. Deshaun Elliott in his first game back has the interception.
Offensive line without the left guard Jackson, without the center Kelly, without the right tackle O'Neal.
And then this is picked off! T.J. Watt! As electric of a big play guy as there is.
The best at that. He went back there all day until it developed. Here's Gainwell, left side, and in for his second touchdown!
Wentz stepping up over the middle, it's broken up! Deshaun Elliott knocks it away and seals the deal for the Steelers.
It was the pass rush, really the story of the entire day. They forced the intentional grounding, and that pretty much all but did it.
Well, the defense had 5 takeaways last week to get him the win in New England. They have 7 sacks today to lead the way in this one. Pittsburgh improves to 3-1.
Per usual, they keep us on the edge of our seats pretty much until that clock hits zero, but it does feel good to come in here and talk to you guys on a victory Monday. The Pittsburgh Steelers are 3-1 after a 24-21 win in Dublin yesterday. They go into the bye week with a 2-game lead. Well, technically just a 1-game lead over the Cincinnati Bengals, depending on what happens tonight. I think that'll be a loss for Cincinnati, but a 2-game lead over the Baltimore Ravens in the AFC North. I still wouldn't say that that's a foregone conclusion how things will end there, but that team didn't look very good yesterday. But it's a good feeling. Victory Mondays are always a pretty good feeling, but it is when you get a performance like that yesterday, and we will dive in to some of our big takeaways on the Steelers' win against the Vikings. We have a lot to get to because it was a busy sports weekend around here. The Penguins said goodbye to a legend. The Pirates finished off their season. All 3 major local college football teams went down on Saturday. We will dive into that and more. Off the Top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding, as you just heard a little rundown of what is going to happen on today's show. Donnie Football in for Pomp and Joe on this victory Monday. Austin Bechtold, the man we call City Limits, is behind the glass. And I want to get you involved as well. No guests lined up for today's show. I want to get a lot of your thoughts on the Steelers' win over the Vikings, and you can hit us up at 412-928-9370. That is the number to join the conversation. The same number gets you on the fan text line as well, which is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. So your thoughts at 412-928-9370. We will start with a six-pack of Steelers takeaways from the game against the Vikings, and thank you, Austin, for that. The first one for me is that this team is precisely where I thought they would be. I just swapped two of the games so far this season, and they go into the bye week with a record of 3 wins and 1 loss. I had them losing the opener against the Jets. That game was very close, way too close for comfort. I had them beating Seattle. They end up losing that game by 2 touchdowns, but it's been mostly the same. Going into the year, I did my final wins and loss breakdown that Monday before the season started, and I had the team going 11-6. And I think after that loss against Seattle and after the way that they played defensively those first two games, we thought that would be a very far-fetched prediction, that this team was bound for a losing record. The sky was falling. Here comes Mike Tomlin's 5-12 season. Nah, that's not going to happen. And I knew that regardless, this team would find a way to win at least 9 games. But I'm still going to hold to what I had going into the year. Because why change it? They started these first 3 games, regardless of how they looked in some of them. The defense has looked better as of late. And now they sit at the same exact record I thought they would be through the first 4 games. They are going into the bye week at 3-1, and given the team they are playing and where they are playing after the bye, I like their chances a lot to go to 4-1 when they play the Browns. So I don't know why I would change where they are at right now. Hit another one, Austin. This was easily the most complete game the team played. Despite the score, this game was not that close. It was a pretty dominant Steelers effort for 3.5 quarters. The problem is they play 4. The Vikings did outgain them, but a lot of that was cosmetic. A lot of that was catch-up yards in a game that the Steelers held a multi-score lead in. They looked good on both sides of the football. And I think that's the first time we can say that all year. The defense was really bad in the first 2 weeks. They had a better week against the Patriots. They turned the football over a lot in New England, but the offense staggered in the middle of that game. This time it felt like we got a true full effort from both sides until we got to the final, 5 minutes of regulation? I would even say 3.75 quarters of that game were dominated by Pittsburgh. And then the Vikings were able to claw back a little bit and make that game way too close for comfort. I didn't care for some of the late game decisions, but you have to feel better about this game than the other 2 wins on the season. And for the, hey, they played Carson Wentz crowd, that's really not the flex that some of the haters think it is. I mean, look at the quarterbacks they played in weeks 1 through 3. I don't think any of those guys are going to wear gold jackets one day. I guess Drake May has a shot. By the way, that team scored, 48 points yesterday? 42 points? Austin, the Patriots blew out the Panthers. It was 42-14, I think it was. So the Steelers have played teams that have scored 40-plus points in the last couple of weeks. And the defense has looked really good against both of them for most of the game. Yesterday wasn't quite that vintage bend don't break effort. I thought the defense looked like they had the game in control for majority until those final couple of drives. The trench play was a lot better on both sides. And the Steelers, who I thought would have the disadvantage at coaching, won that battle. easily, decisively. Arthur Smith outfoxed Brian Flores, who we praised all week. And I do think Brian Flores is a very good defensive coordinator. Arthur Smith had him beat. And then Mike Tomlin's defense got the better of Kevin O'Connell's offense for almost the entire game. Like I said, I don't agree with some of the late game decisions. I was fine with going for the touchdown instead of the field goal late in the fourth quarter. I just thought the play call stunk. Hey, Mike, let us go for it here. We have a chance to put this game away. Okay, you're going to get a 23 dive from the 5-yard line. And to their credit, they took it down to the 1, but they didn't get in. The Steelers also should have gone for it on 4th-and-1 late in the game to just put it away. But Mike Tomlin went against his offense's wishes, took a penalty, then punted, then, of course, made everybody sweat it out. And the defense was able to make the stop. So, yeah, there are a couple of negatives that come out of it, but I came away from that game feeling pretty good about where the team is at. And maybe it did mean a little bit more to them. We speculated on that last week. Art Rooney, too, he gave the passionate speech before the team got on the plane, how much that meant to the family, how much it would have meant to Dan Rooney. And it certainly looked like that team took those words to heart. They did treat it like a business trip more than a field trip. They looked like the better team across the board for, I would say, about 52 minutes of yesterday's game, maybe even 55 minutes. There was a lot to like in the performance yesterday. 412-928-9370. Before I get to some more of these takeaways, let's get to a call here. And you can join the conversation at that number. Hop on the fan hotline at 412-928-9370. That's brought to you by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Our buddy Troy in Mount Washington. What's up, Troy?
Donnie, what's going on, brother?
Nothing much, man. What do you got?
So I got Troy's top three takeaways from yesterday's game. Two positives, one negative. Third positive, one of the positives for me is Deshaun Elliott, I believe, just showed what an essential part of our defense he is. Communication-wise, playmaking-wise, just kind of the cohesiveness of that defense, I think, showed with his play and him being on the field more than any player throughout the Steelers in that game. My second takeaway is Nick Herbig is that dude. And we got to start realizing that Nick Herbig should not only be coming in when we're giving a breath to TJ and a breath to Highsmith, that we're going to have to look to maybe even after this season getting rid of Highsmith, but giving him a lot more reps. His energy on the field, I mean, it just seems like he has more burst than T.J. Watt right now. I mean, his pass rushing ability, and people always, you know, doubt him for his run defense, but that was stout too. So I think he played a great game. But my number one takeaway, something that's kind of been irking me, is what is going on with Pat Freiermuth? Who is he? What is his role on this team? It just seems like from the beginning of this season that he's lazy. He's not really running his routes crisp. He's had a couple drops. He didn't even follow his technique in blocking on a field goal attempt that got it blocked for us. I just don't see that contract holding up. If we're going to look to move one person and only one person from our team and move on from somebody, I'm okay doing it with Pat Freiermuth. Curious of your thoughts on that.
Yeah, Troy, I appreciate the call. And you brought up a couple of points there that I'm going to get to in some of these other takeaways. Herbig, Freiermuth, and I mean, if you have followed me for a while, you know that I'm a Pat Freiermuth guy, but it's hard for me to not be concerned about what we are seeing in these games. And the snap count at tight end yesterday, a very interesting breakdown there that I will get to in just a few minutes. 412-928-9370. Crack another one for me, Austin, please. The Rodgers and Metcalf connection is really starting to heat up. That is three straight games with a touchdown between the pair. Yesterday was an 80-yarder, and that was DK Metcalf really at what he does best. That was freakish, the 80-yard catch and run. Just something short and simple, and then he takes it the rest of the way. He's not far off either from where he usually is at this point in the season. Maybe the yardage is a little bit below where he usually comes in at. Last season, for instance, he averaged 66.1 yards per game. Season before that, 69.6. Right now, he's at 65.3. He has 15 for 261 and three touchdowns this year. The touchdown rate is actually a little bit better. And the success rate, the receiving success rate, which is a successful reception at least 40% of the yards required on first down, 60% on second down, 100% on third and fourth down. You can find this on Pro Football Reference, which is one of the greatest websites known to man. Last season, Austin, it was only 49.1% for Metcalf. This year so far, 68.2, by far the highest for DK in his career. He also has the highest yards per reception that he has had. And I know that 80-yard grab is doing a lot of favors there, but he only had five touchdowns last season. And he has three already this year, and they have happened in three consecutive games. So things are starting to heat up there between the two of those guys. Five for 126 and that 80-yarder. What would the numbers have to be, Austin, for you to be happy at season's end? And you can answer this question too at 412-928-9370. What do the numbers between the Rodgers and Metcalf connection have to look like at season's end for you to be happy with this partnership?
Well, and I think part of that is, too, the more success that they have, you would just think that that would coincide with the success of the team and how the offense is able to thrive. So I think over 1,000 yards, because we've gotten to a point where if you don't have 1,000 yards, that's more of a storyline than if you don't in a 17-game season, as long as you stay healthy. So I would say probably 1,100 yards, seven touchdowns, and I don't know, what's a good number of catches? 75, maybe? 70, 75? Do you think that's an appropriate stat line?
Yeah.
75 catches, 1,100 yards, seven touchdowns?
I mean, that would be...
That'd be a really good year.
Really good bang for your buck if he goes 75 for 1,100.
That's
yeah.
what you're paying him for. That's
yeah.
why he has $30 million in the bank.
I mean, and I'm not asking... If he puts up 1,100 yards in that touchdown number, I'm not super concerned if the receptions are like under 80 or under 90 or whatever. I mean, if he had 75 for 1,100, that's a really good year.
When you can't agree on what to order or you're settling for whatever, mealtime can be a major... That's where Wonder comes in. Download the app for access to everything you're craving. Mix and match hundreds of freshly prepared dishes from menus by renowned chefs, delivered in one order. Say goodbye to compromise. From poke bowls to filet mignon, it's all on Wonder. Order fast, free delivery, or pick up and dine in at a Wonder location near you. Wonder, the cravings expert. Get the app today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Crack another one for me, please.
Let's do it.
We'll get to more calls in just a moment. A couple have lined up. You can join the queue at 412-928-9370. The young defenders, at least in this game, that had to answer some critics, they did so. Now, I don't know if this holds up. I don't know if this will stick all season long, but I will tip my cap to the efforts of Keanu Benton and Peyton Wilson yesterday. Those guys were getting very deserved criticism through three games. They were not good. They were two of the worst defenders on the field in most cases. And I think both were at risk of not outright being benched, but severely losing their snap counts. Cole Holcomb had a nice game against the Patriots a week ago, and Daniel Equale was starting to eat away at some of Keanu Benton's snaps. YA Black, as he worked into the mix, and those guys were great against the Vikings. They balled out. Probably the best pro game for Keanu Benton and possibly the best one for Peyton Wilson. When I get to my game balls next hour, and Austin can share his as well once we get there around 11 o'clock, it's going to be difficult for me to break it down to just three guys. I have it on paper who I want the game balls to be, but you also know if you follow along, I put a lot of also receiving votes in there. There's probably going to be three to four, maybe even five names that get put in that category. Benton, he had 1.5 sacks, a tackle for loss, 3 quarterback hits. Peyton Wilson had 13 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, and a quarterback hit. And let's not downplay the hustle that he had on that Jordan Addison catch and run. That was one of the best hustle plays I have seen from a Steelers player in a long time. There's a play that I thought of from about 8 seasons ago, 2017. It was. Austin, I'm not sure if you remember this one. It came in a loss. They played the Chicago Bears, but there was a play that Vance McDonald made back in 2017, week 3 against Chicago. Chicago blocked the field goal. McDonald ran the guy down to prevent a touchdown. I think it was right before halftime or somewhere around there. That was what that play felt like yesterday. Wilson is an inside linebacker. And Jordan Addison had, I don't know, what, probably a 20-yard head start.
At least.
And Peyton Wilson ran him down. He prevented a touchdown. And even though Minnesota ended up scoring anyway, the important part was when in the game that happened. That made the Vikings use an extra minute and a half of very valuable time. So I wish that we could say to expect this every week. I don't know if that's realistic, but if it is a building block for these two, they needed a game to bring that confidence level up, and I thought both of them were really good. 412-928-9370. Let's get to another call here. Mr. Old School is ready to go. What's going on, Mr. Old School?
My guy, what's going on? Hey, listen, I agree with you. You took my thunder on Peyton Wilson. He ran Jordan Addison down, not from an angle. He ran him down from behind, which shows it's the speed he has. But the other guy I wanted to talk to you about, Donnie, is Elliott. I think Elliott makes all the difference in that secondary. I mean, they were actually covering the middle of the field. Elliott was everywhere. I think that he is such an addition to this team, and we can really see how much he was missed because of the way they played yesterday. Because even last week when he wasn't there, yeah, we won the game because of a lot of turnovers, but we still was giving the middle of the field up like crazy. Not yesterday. Yesterday they got top-notch receivers and they got a top-notch tight end, and they were getting shut down yesterday.
Yeah, I love Deshaun Elliott, and thank you for the call as always, Mr. Old School. Now, I mean, when you're playing a guy like Justin Jefferson, he's going to get his. He had 10 for 126 yesterday. He's the best wide receiver in the game. He and Ja'Marr Chase, you know, whoever you want to put at 1 and 2 is fine by me. But I think it's those guys at 1 and 2 and then the rest of the wide receivers around football can fill in. Addison had 4 for 114, but that was an 81-yard catch and run that he had too. So that play did a lot of his heavy lifting. Deshaun Elliott, I love watching the dude play football. Is he the best player on the field? No. Oftentimes, he's not even really close, but just the effort he puts forth, and he just does a little bit of everything in every game. And they missed him the last few weeks, and yesterday he comes in and he puts together a game where he just made impacts all over the place. Six tackles, a sack, two passes defended, an interception, a tackle for loss, two quarterback hits, a forced fumble. The guy just does it all. A very important piece of the defense. So I love the shout there for Deshaun Elliott. He's somebody that could be hard to deny of a game ball. The man is just all over the field. 412-928-9370. Crack another one for me, please, Austin. So this is something that Troy in Mount Washington helped me get to a little bit earlier. But the tight end usage tells me that the Steelers are wasting some money. And I hate saying this because, like I said, anybody who has followed me for a while, you know that I'm a Pat Freiermuth guy. We talk pretty often. He did a great hour-long sit-down interview with me over the summer that you can find on our YouTube page. Hell of a dude. Great dude. But I am concerned with what we are seeing out of him. I'm also concerned with what we are seeing in general with the snap counts at tight end. The Steelers ran the ball really well yesterday, which was refreshing to see. Kenneth Gainwell, somebody else, that name will probably pop up when it comes to game balls. But Darnell Washington had more snaps combined than the other three tight ends. Darnell Washington played 48 snaps yesterday. And I don't have a problem with that because I think he's a good player that should be used more. But here were the snap counts for the other three. Connor Hayward out-snapped Pat Freiermuth and Jonnu Smith. Connor Hayward played 16 snaps. Pat Freiermuth played 13 snaps. And Jonnu Smith played 13. 16, 15, and 13 for the other three tight ends. And like I said, I love seeing the big fella on the field, that being Mount Washington. He should be used the way they used him. But it's tough when the Steelers actually have some money tied into a couple of guys in their offense and they are barely out there. Because one of the big gripes that we get into anytime they pay a defensive player is about why they're not putting enough money into the offensive side. Two of the guys on the offense that actually make some money are Pat Freiermuth and Jonnu Smith. Smith yesterday, 2 catches for 6 yards. He has 14 for 71 and a touchdown this year. Pat Freiermuth did not even get a target, unless I missed one. My guy was just out there getting some cardio in. And all he has this season is 7 grabs for 65. So they are using the tight ends, but they aren't, maybe they're not using the tight ends the way that we would have expected them to be used. One more for me, Austin, before we get to some more calls. The injuries did not hold them back. They didn't use them as an excuse, not that they ever do, but it's something that could have easily been chalked up to if the game did not go the Steelers' way. And I will say this for another guy who was out. You know what that says on your passenger side mirror in the car? Objects in the mirror are closer than they appear. That is Nick Herbig to Alex Highsmith. This dude is a maniac in situational pass rush reps. I understand that's only part of the game, and he is not the same defender against the run that Highsmith is, but the Steelers potentially now have something in the aggregate with Jack Sawyer in the fold. Not that he's to the level of the other three guys, that's not what I'm saying, but if he could develop into a good run defender with Herbig's play against the pass, those guys can amount to the work that is done by Highsmith. And I think Alex is a really good player. but the guy has to be on the field. The injuries have stacked up a little bit for him in the last couple of seasons since he signed that deal of 4 years, $68 million back in 2023. And I'm not saying they should cut the guy. They absolutely should not do that. Plus, the dead cap there would not make much sense anyway, and he is a really good player, I think, when he's out there. This is also a good situation to be in. They have a slew of good edge rushers. TJ Watt is still elite. He made big plays yesterday. Alex Highsmith, when he's out there, really good. Nick Herbig is turning into, at least pass rushing wise, an elite pass rusher. But this could make Highsmith somebody. Highsmith could be somebody that's available for another team in the offseason. A trade chip, if you will, because a team like this may need one. Maybe for a wide receiver, for instance, and we'll get to what's going on there a little bit later, because the Calvin Austin injury as well as Jalen Ramsey's injury could impact this team down the line. Steelers insider Jerry Dulac had some big news on that around midnight. But the thing with Highsmith is that he just has to be, he has to be out there more. My fear is the injury. When he's in, good player. We just aren't seeing it a lot. He has a lot of nagging injuries that keeps him out. And Nick Herbig continues to look like a great player. And the other injury side of things, how about Kenny G? Tune up the jazz music, baby. This dude had a ball game. The offensive line played its best game by far. The bar also was not set super high. But those guys stepped up. And we got news around 8 a.m. We were live at Shiloh Plate and Pour, Mark Cabali and myself, doing fan game day, and we find out that Jaylen Warren would not play. He was inactive. And even though I didn't waver on my game prediction, which was only 2 points off, by the way, Austin, I was quite close on
you
that.
You were, Donnie. Yeah, 23 right to there. 20. Still had the you had the right margin of
yeah,
victory.
Shouldn't though. Have been that close. I would have much rather seen like a 24 to 9 score, whatever it was at one point. But the run game, I thought, would take a hit without Warren in it. Not that he's been great this year, but Kenneth Gainwell stepped right in and did not let that happen. 19 for 99 and a touchdown. He provided a little bit in the pass game as well, 6 for 35. And when it comes to Darnell Washington, the Steelers used him a lot, 48 snaps, like I mentioned a few moments ago. Spencer Anderson also saw 19 snaps as an extra offensive lineman. So despite the injury to Warren, they wanted to make running the football a priority. Then they went out there and they did it. That was refreshing to see as a fan. So many other things I could get into. It was a fun game to take in yesterday. Now that's where you come in. What are some of your big takeaways from the 24-21 Steelers win in Dublin? 412-928-9370. Any thoughts on the game and where this team is at? Let's talk about it. Get your voice heard.
When you can't agree on what to order or you're settling for whatever, mealtime can be a major. That's where Wonder comes in. Download the app for access to everything you're craving. Mix and match hundreds of freshly prepared dishes from menus by renowned chefs, delivered in one order. Say goodbye to compromise. From poke to pizza, it's all on Wonder. Use code WONDER50P for 50% off your first two orders on Wonder. Wonder, the cravings expert. Get the app today. Terms apply. See wonder.com/newcustomer for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen to Pomp and Joe every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at 12 noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Donnie Football in for Pomp and Joe. Pomp on his way back at some point from Dublin. I believe he will be in on Wednesday. You can expect me in this time slot again tomorrow. Joe attending to some family matters in Buffalo, so we wish him the best doing that. Austin Bechtold, our guy City Limits, is here with me for the four-hour ride as well. And you at 412-928-9370. A lot of callers want to chime in after a 24-21 Steelers victory in Dublin yesterday. They are 3-1 going into the bye week. Let's hear from you at 412-928-9370. A legendary fan caller, Anthony in Oakland. What's going on, Anthony?
Thank you, Donnie. Hey, Donnie, were you familiar with that rule about retaining possession of the fumble, that your own fumble, if, even if you're out of bounds?
No, and I'm glad you brought that up. I think that call stinks.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't have possession of the ball. He touched the ball, but he didn't have possession. He
right.
was out of
and,
bounds.
And you would think, too, Anthony, with all of like the illegal touching rules, wouldn't that right. fall under that category?
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, I mean, it seemed the announcers were surprised, too, but they checked on it. It's a rule. It's one that needs to be changed. And I'd also like to change that horse collar of a quarterback in the pocket. I mean, a horse collar is a horse collar.
Yeah, I think that's a bizarre one, too. I mean, if a horse collar takes place, if you're going to call it elsewhere, why, like, call it everywhere?
You know, Chuck Clark was the one who blew the coverage on Addison. You could tell because I watched it again today. The other Slay and Elliott, where they were supposed to. Clark was supposed to stay deep. He comes up and lets him run right past them. They turn around and see him run right past. You just saw the horror on their faces. I mean, and Clark, I mean, this is not the first time he's done that. I don't know if we'll see Clark after that, because I know if I saw it on the film, they saw that on the film. It was Clark's play. He's supposed to be deep.
And now with Elliott back, that's going to already take away at what that guy would do.
And you know what? One more quick thing, if you don't mind, Donnie.
Absolutely.
I know the coach loves Rodgers because we know Mike Tomlin. We've seen him since 2007. To go up 13, he kicks the field goal. He let them talk him out. I bet he won't let them talk him out again.
Yeah, I don't.
I want to kick the field goal. I want to be up 13. Because that field goal kicker last week kicked almost a 60-yarder. Mm-hmm. I didn't like it being up 3. I wanted to be up 6.
Yeah, Anthony, I don't think he will let them try and do that again. I also think that play right around the end zone, it felt to me like, okay, you want to go for it. Let's just throw a very basic vanilla play call at you. They didn't do anything creative. Ball was on, what, the 4 or 5 yard line. That's a spot where you maybe work in a play that you would run on like a 2-point conversion, put the game away. And they didn't do that. That was an odd one to me, too. 50-minute mark on the Fan. That's brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Route 19 in Peters Township. And as I look at things more, the game ball segment is going to be a tough one once we get past 11 o'clock. So maybe some people can help me out at 412-928-9370. We will take your calls all morning. And up next, we go to Ron in the car. What's going on, Ron?
What's up, guys? Got a few things. Number one, I thought Broderick Jones played better, had a good game. Number two, Samalu in pass coverage, pretty bad. I don't know if that's a direct correlation with Jones, the way he's been playing in pass coverage. You know, Samalu, when he pulls, very good run blocker. Pass coverage, not great. And, hey, I want to get you guys' take on this one, too. Should Franklin win for two in regulation?
Oh, from the Penn State game. Well, I'll let Austin answer that one.
Well, it's funny you say that, Ron, because that is actually something that I was talking to my sister about, my sister's boyfriend about, the people behind us at the game about. Like, in this situation, do you go for it? And the guy behind me, I said, I would strongly consider it. The guy behind me was like, no, you have all the momentum. Go to overtime and just continue to ride the high that you're on. And ultimately, I did agree with that. Franklin said no, there was no consideration of going for two. I'm ultimately okay with it and playing for overtime because of those factors. And it started out like playing at the 25-yard line going into the student section. The defense just did not get a stop. The offense went right down the field, scored a touchdown. I'm okay with them not going for two. It just ultimately ended up with a Drew Aller play that we will talk about at noon.
I think it's easy for me to say in hindsight I would have gone for it. It just felt like with the flow of the game, that Oregon defense was gassed at that point because Penn State had gone and scored 14 unanswered. So it would be cherry picking for me to say like, oh, you know, I was watching the game in bed on Saturday night and I'm yelling at the TV to go for it. I think I would have, but it's easy to say given how the game came to an end. But yeah, we will get to the college football weekend around noon. 412-928-9370 to join the convo here. Steelers beating the Vikings 24-21 yesterday. Rich is in Carmichael's. Now he's on the Fan. What's going on, Rich?
Hi there.
Yep. What's up, Rich?
Okay. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Rich.
Donnie, you do a good job, my friend. I'm glad you're a Wayne Smith College grad. But
thank
I want to say yesterday's game, the running game made a big difference and made it easier for Rodgers to make some of the decisions in the passing game. So I give him an A-plus in the running game. But the last thing I want to say, my friend, I had a vision, and I'm looking for Omar to trade either Fireman or – what's his name? The other guy is Highsmith, and they're going to try to get a wide receiver, which they definitely need. That's all I have to say, and keep up the good work.
All right, Rich, I appreciate that call. Yeah, I mean the receiver conversation, one that we'll have a little bit later. The injury to Calvin Austin that opens up things at wide receiver two. I mean what are they going to do there? And then if you run into an injury with DK Metcalf at any point, you are in a lot of trouble fast because it's down to three guys. So maybe there is something that happens before we hit the trade deadline is still quite a ways away, but the Steelers are looking like they will be in position again to be a buyer for that. 412-928-9370. Matt in Manor. What's up, Matt?
Donnie, Austin, what's going on, fellas?
Nothing much, man. What do you got?
Nothing, man. I just I'm with Limits. I'm commiserating this weekend. I'm a Penn State alum. Obviously, a little bummed out about that. I'll have to call back at noon. We'll talk that. But I wanted to call. I know you said about giving out game balls. I got two. One is for the sweetest jazz musician you've ever seen run a football, Kenny G. Man, he changed up the whole dynamic. The offensive line looked like they were moving bodies against, mind you, a very good Minnesota front seven. They got a lot of push. They got a lot of momentum forward. And then for me, 1,000% player of the game, play of the game has got to be Peyton Wilson. I mean, that dude, I don't know if you guys saw this. I think I saw on Instagram or Twitter, he set a land speed record for top speed reach for a linebacker chasing down a guy who's a very fast, very athletic. Everybody who's a Pitt fan remembers Jordan Addison.
Yep.
He chased that dude down in the open field. I mean, that play won us the game. And I'm going to say that. I'll say it until I'm blue in the face because that created three more offensive plays that Minnesota had to burn clock. They could have very easily gotten the ball back with a minute and some change and a timeout if we don't make two defensive stops right there on the goal line. If not for Peyton Wilson,
I think Mike Tomlin's on the hot seat this morning.
very well put, Matt. I mean, I don't know if Mike Tomlin will ever be on the proverbial hot seat, but that play for Peyton Wilson, it shows up in the stat sheet as just another tackle, one of the 13 that he had, but that hustle does not go unnoticed. I mean, I think he showed yesterday that he's clearly the fastest off-ball linebacker they have had since Ryan Shazier. Shazier had that freakish-type speed and athleticism. Peyton Wilson chased down a guy that won the Biletnikoff Award in college, a guy that is a very, very good wide receiver in the NFL. One of the budding best wide receiver twos, I would say, in the league, along with Justin Jefferson. You chase that guy down, you save a touchdown for the time being. And like you said, Matt, and I touched on it in that first segment, that saved them a valuable, 90 seconds? You know, time went off the clock in a precious moment of the game. You go down to see what happened at that point in the game. The 81-yard pass, he gets taken down at the 1-yard line. They had to run three plays. That play took place with 3:25 to go. They scored the touchdown with 2:13 to go. That was a huge play. A massive play at that point in the game. 412-928-9370. Eric and Carrick. What's up, Eric?
Good morning. Yesterday was as great a day for Pittsburgh football fans as Saturday was a miserable one, with Cleveland and Baltimore also losing, and of course tonight goes Denver. The Steelers have a lot of games that they win and you feel like they're lucky. This was not one of them. I really did feel like we were the superior team, and if anything, if we had had a little bit of different luck, we would have won by a lot more. Would have been out of reach with that fumble for a touchdown that, you know, was called back for a weird rule, and then that interception where they said he bobbled it. Those were awfully close, but we still won. But if there's a one rule that I would vote for a change, it would be that Mike Tomlin should be legally prohibited from ever using the phrase, we don't live in our fears. I see Philadelphia go for it. I see Detroit go for it all the time. And I don't know a Steeler fan who is not apoplectic that we didn't go for it, and then we punted it out of the end zone. That was the weirdest. It looked like we were trying to go for the first-round draft pick in next year's draft. So that was inexplicable to me. I want to know what you guys thought.
That's the thing about that punt late in the game. And I think Corliss Waitman, for the most part, does a pretty good job. He's a decent NFL punter. I don't think he's, you know, an all-time great or anything. He's not Shane Lechler. He's not Ray Guy. But he booted that thing right into the end zone. It was a net of, 19 yards? He didn't really even try to down the ball. And if he did, he would have fooled me thinking that that's what he wanted to happen. Because he just crushed it right out of the end zone. And that set up the Vikings with some life. I mean, think about that drive differently too. If he does punt the football and he downs it inside the five, that's, you know, that is a big difference at that stage in the game. Or even if the ball does hit the ground at the 5 or 10 yard line and then rolls in, kind of a bad luck roll. Ball got booted right into the end zone.
Oh, Donnie, we had the epitome of living in your fears this weekend with James Franklin punting from the 36-yard line of Oregon and then Mike Tomlin punting from the 40-yard line of the Vikings. Both resulted in touchbacks. Great job flipping the field, guys. Great job.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. P&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.